Before I launch off, is there anyone who would like to take 2 minutes and give us your testimony? Tell us when you got saved and how you know you're saved. Anyone? You realize that when no one does that, I just preach 2 minutes longer. Steve, come on.
I'm dressed like you today.
That's right. We're brothers. He's a lot older than I am. Now, come on. Get up in front of them. Go on the World Wide Web and get your testimony.
Now I can't do that. You know, it's funny. One of my wife's favorite sayings is, the days are long, but the years are short. And I can remember being in Rick and Diane's house in 82, 83, whenever that was. And Chevy was 4 or 5, and that's the last time I saw them. And we just happened to be here at the same time. And I think about the other reason. Let me say that for the end, why this weekend. But salvation. So July 5th, 1983 is the day the Lord saved me. And that's because that's the night I got lost. I was a believer all my life. People always say, are you a believer? Well, I was a believer all my life. My dad was choir director of the church. So we were there every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and every Wednesday night, whether we wanted to or not. And so I grew up, I knew that Christ died on the cross, and I always believed that he was buried, and I believe he rose again the third day. But July 5th, 1983, up at Pineville Bible Camp, Selma, Alabama, is the night I got lost. Because that's the night I realized that when Christ died for our sins, that included Steve Gottberg's sins, and I realized I had never trusted in that. There had never been a time in my life when I trusted in that, and that alone for my salvation. And so that's the night I got lost, because I realized that. And you got to get lost before you can get saved. And that's the night that I just stopped trying and started believing and got saved that night. And I just, there was Brother Jerry and two other men preaching. And I've just praised the Lord ever since. And it's been amazing, the timing, all these things this weekend just blowing me away. Because one of the reasons that I'm here this weekend, there's something going on in San Antonio, and a guy named Pat Dubose was there. I'm just curious how many people in this room might know the name Pat Dubose. Very few. Mobile, Alabama, took Jerry and his family here. There's a guy named Pat Dubose. And did y'all know Pat? So we were all affiliated with Pat in Mobile, and Pat moved to San Antonio in 83, 84, somewhere in there, and he had Jerry come out once a month, I guess, at the beginning. I remember coming out with Jerry once or twice at that time, and that's when Jerry saw that there were 22 million people. I remember seeing the map so many times, this triangle in Texas between Dallas, you know, Austin, San Antonio, and Houston, and the 22 million, and Jerry wanted to make sure all 22 million heard the grace message, and more so the gospel of Christ. But I'm probably taking more time than you want to hear. But
you're talking about me, so go ahead.
Yeah. So here's Pat in San Antonio. I mean, I was with him yesterday. And like I said, he's the reason Jerry's here. And, you know, I feel like I met Jerry through Pat. I met my wife through Pat. That, you know, we'll celebrate our 27th year marriage. And just all the things. And, you know, here's the Tharps here this weekend, too. And of course, a chance to be with y'all again. I see about every 2 years, it seems. But wow, I guess some people call this a coincidence. I know what. And because of all that, I just wanted to. So that's how Brother Jerry and his family got out here. But you know, the days are long, the years are short, and the things we take for granted. And I just, you know, I feel like so many times over the years, I've probably taken you and your family for granted almost. And
you sorry, Russell?
Yeah. It's just what a pleasure it is to be with all these people.
Amen. Thanks, Steve. Steve meandered into a Bible class one night in Mobile, Alabama, and he saw this tall, good-looking blonde who is probably watching right now. And he never left that Bible class. He didn't want to. Charlie?
All I can say is all hail Pat Dubose.
I'm not sure Pat would say that. Pat Dubose is a great friend and has been since August of 1980 when I met him. And he used to call me because I would argue, I would talk about the Bible and wind up arguing and winning the arguments about the Bible to people that he would introduce me to. He called me Jerry Lockhorns. I'm supposed to still call this guy a friend. I don't know. But anyway, at any rate, you see, the thing about the time that Steve's saying is exactly right. We've been here 23 years, and it doesn't seem, it's me 24 in August. And I was coming a year before that, once a month for a while, and then it turned to twice a month. And it doesn't seem like but yesterday when that was going on. I remember when I first came to Texas, I had little Bible classes in about five different places, and I drove about 1,300 miles a week. And I still think of that as though that wasn't hard to do. And then I think about doing it now, and I think, no way could I do that. So I know there's a difference. The days are long. But yet, it passes quickly, ladies and gentlemen. Life is fleeting. Read James chapter 3 if you want to understand the length of time that the Lord has given you in this life. Our life is but a wisp. And so here we are. We're here with a powerful saving gospel to speak. Anybody else like to give their testimony? Okay, Rick. Well, that's all right. Go ahead. Well, these people are used to somebody crying when they give their testimony. We can say amen right with you.
Well, we go back to the same time frame. Sorry. We had a son that had cancer back in 1980, and he passed away in 81. Well, during that time, prior to that time, Diane and I grew up Baptist church, same altar calls. Mm. By the time you're 12, I'd say, you're pretty isolated if you haven't done that by then, because all your friends and your Sunday school class have already gone down and been baptized. And so you do it out of, like, I don't want to be the last one to do this. So you do it and you do the grand show and you get baptized and, okay, phew, that's over with. You can cruise on the rest of your life and feel like you've been saved and you're okay. Until some things come up and make you question what's going on. Well, when our son was sick, we wanted him to live. And so we were seeking every avenue we could. And so we went to faith healers, Kenneth Copeland. I mean, we traveled all over the country feeding ourselves, basically, to hear what we wanted to hear, to lay hands on him. Not that we didn't believe he could be healed. We always believed that, and we still believe that can happen. But he didn't. And we didn't turn our backs on God. We kept seeking the answers that we knew there was truth out there. We didn't know. We still thought we were saved, too. But then, through Bill Brooks, I think it was Bill, wasn't it?
These people heard a lot of Bill Brooks stories.
Through Bill Brooks, we went and started going to some of Jerry's Bible studies, and then started hosting some of Jerry's Bible studies, and then we just realized how simple it was to receive what the Lord had to offer us, and that was his salvation, our salvation. And we turned, at the same time, we said, you know, heck with all this, I don't know if I'm saved or not. I don't think I am, because I don't think I remember a time when I said, Lord, I accept your gift of salvation, and I'm thankful for that, and I believe it. Almost within the same day we did that, and that's been it from then on. And, so, you know, we listen. It's good to get rejuvenated with these things, because we've been removed from a good Bible study where we are, and it's good to be back.
I remember that week, and I remember that after Rick got saved, he told me about he and I and AJ, who is Steve's brother-in-law, were meeting in a restaurant one morning. Were we discussing the Bible, or what? I don't know why we were meeting in that restaurant. We certainly weren't getting AJ to buy breakfast, were we? Anyway, I made some kind of a remark in some sort of an explanation about Rick having a testimony. And next thing I know, Rick's telling me he got saved. And I don't know what prompted what, but the realization that you need a Savior is a magnificent realization. And the realization that Christ is all the Savior you'll ever need is an even greater, really, really great position. Diane? Yeah, right. Absolutely, I understand.
Loving up and saying that. He said, yeah, we could have. You know, and that realization was like cold water.
Absolutely. Where was I before? Absolutely.
Like that sermon that you talked about before, and you walked over the rocky roads of hell.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Well, the thing I remember about, I don't want to give Diane's testimony, but the thing I remember was that she called me one morning and told me she'd gotten saved, I guess the next day, and I said, when'd you get saved? She said, in the middle of the morning, I haven't been to bed yet. So anyway, anybody else want to give their testimony?
Oh,
okay, Dwayne Weeding, come on down.
Since it's visitors, Sunday.
Since it's visitors, Sunday. We don't have any visitors any other time, only when y'all come.
For me, it was April 3rd, 1991. I, like some of the other testimonies, was a religious person. My parents raised me that way. My mother was my Sunday school teacher as a Lutheran, and I did what the Lutherans told me to do. And what I ended up with by the time I was 30 was a somewhat of a religious individual. I would have said the same thing that if someone would have asked me, like the Baptist did when I was courting my wife, about salvation, I would have said, well, I've always been saved. The first thing I could remember about God was that we were in a church. And the problem was is that the truth hit me right between the eyes one Sunday as I was studying the scriptures, or being taught the truth out of the scriptures by rightly dividing the, as Hank Williams might say, the light showed me that I was lost, that I was indeed religious and very sincere and had somewhat of a zeal towards the religious end, but the downside was that it was basically a work salvation. I had never been faced with the idea of trusting Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior because I was being taught to be a religious Lutheran, and it was like the way is salvation instead of the Lord. And the wonderfulness of studying God's Word correctly, rightly dividing it, is that it allowed me to see myself as a sinner. Never having trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, never having a time where I decided that Christ died for my sins until April 3rd, 1991. I had gotten in my car after hearing something like this. Some men got up and gave their testimony, and I could see the blessed hope that they have. They were resting in that assurance. I could see it. I could hear it. And I wanted that, and I didn't have it. I was sitting there trying to figure out how I was going to do this, and it was all the stuff that I had done previously. What I knew was those Bereans sitting there were going to chew that testimony to shreds. And the fear of that and the fear of knowing that I was lost, I got in my car, drove down this street, Landis Street, got about halfway. I remember looking at the Harold Zeitung building, and I was like, Dwayne, why are you fooling around with your salvation? Just trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You know, you've heard the gospel, and you know the truth. And I trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior right down that road. And And about 20 minutes from now, it would have been it was just a little afternoon. And I've had that hope, and by studying the Scripture, it's even more rested assured to me than ever before that the doctrine does point out that I am saved. Thanks, Mary.
Wow, this is better than any sermon I could ever preach. Anybody else want to give their testimony? Lauren. Dwayne's daughter, Lauren.
Last time I was up there, they teased me because I did it in 2 minutes because I didn't have any background. But back in 2007, we had, I think, either a conference or an academy here, and Brother Moore was here, and he was one of my favorite preachers, so I went to go say goodbye to him before he left. And when I did, he asked me if I was saved, and the truth was, I didn't know. And after that, I kept thinking about that, because that bothered me. I didn't know what would happen if I went to sleep and didn't wake up. And that scared me a lot. And on December 9th, 2007, when we got home, my dad and I, when we got home from deer hunting, my mom was in the kitchen cooking supper, and she had the computer up and was watching the Matrix movie on it. And I caught that last end of that, and for some reason, it scared me a lot. And something in my mind clicked, and I started thinking it. I went upstairs to our bathroom, and I sat down, and I put my trust in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, believing that He died on the cross for my sins, that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day for my justification. And I know for 100% that I am saved. And we're still here, so apparently I wasn't the last one.
Wonderful. That's a great testimony. Not only is that a great testimony, but that pretty little girl will shoot Bambi. Anybody else? Judy. So glad you walked in at the exact right time, Judy. Yes. Come up here and introduce yourself to these people. Some of them don't know you.
I'm Judy Fisher. I'm originally from the Houston group, transplanted to Marble Falls, and here.
And here.
And here. I don't think I've ever shared my testimony. I thought about it several times, but every time I started to do it, then somebody else did it or something. But I walked in, and y'all were doing this, and I thought this would be an opportune time. I was born into what I call a semi-Christian family. My dad was an atheist at one time, an agnostic at one time, and truth being, he was saved, but he got mad at the church and when he was a teenager, and he decided he was going to be an atheist. And then he got into nature and decided, well, there is a God, so I'll just be an agnostic. So when I was born, my mother was a Christian, and my dad didn't want to hear about anything. Don't talk to me about Bible, church, or anything. Well, when I was about 9 years old, my grandmother said it would please your mother if you would go forward in the church and accept Christ as your Savior and join the church. So I would do anything to please my mom, and so I did it. And the preacher said, "Do you accept Christ your Savior?" I said, "Yes." I didn't know what it meant. I went to some classes, and I just stared out the window. And I got baptized, and I got my little envelopes. And my grandmother gave me a quarter to put in my envelopes every day, every Sunday. And so then when I was 10, my mother passed away, and it was the most defining point in my life, and things were very, very difficult, and I was looking for any way to get out of the house, and a friend of mine suggested what was then called YFC, which is Youth for Christ. So I started going, but it was just a way to get out of the house, but I thought I was safe. So I went through all of the soul winning classes, and I was vice president of my Bible club, and I mean, on the quiz team, and did all that. But when I was a senior, a girlfriend of mine, who I'll never forget, her name was Ellen, she said, "Judy, have you ever been saved?" And I said, "Oh, yes." And I didn't tell her about the time that I went forward in the church. I just said, "It's a gradual thing." And she said, "Well, Judy," and she quoted the verse about today is the day of salvation, now is accepted time. And I said, "Oh, Ellen, don't worry about it. I'm not worried about it." But I was worried about it. And that night I went home, and I prayed the only prayer at night that I could think of, and that was, "Now I lay me down to sleep." I got to the point where it said, "If I should die before I wake," and then I would cry myself to sleep, because I was so afraid that I would not get to heaven to see my mom again. So it was about a couple of weeks later. I haven't written down my Bible. It was September 21st. I'm not going to tell you the year. But I was at a Youth for Christ rally in Charleston, West Virginia, where I was born and raised, in the Civic Center. And when I was up there this summer, I went by that Civic Center, and I looked at it, and I said, "That's the place I was saved." Anyway, so this guest speaker, and all I know is he had red hair, and he had the longest, boniest finger in the world, because he was pointing it right there. And we were standing up, and at the end, and I said, "Lord, just help me move my left foot," because I knew if I could move my left foot, I could go down that aisle. And so I did, and I went down there, and I was so afraid that all my friends would say, "Well, you've been in Youth for Christ all these 6 years and doing all these things, and you haven't been saved? You know, you've been a hypocrite." But they didn't. They came up to me, and they hugged me. And that night, when I prayed the prayer, I went to sleep, and I was thankful. And I've been through so many things, which I've shared with you, and the Lord has never, ever, never, ever left me. And I've left Him a couple of times, but thankfully I've come back, and thank you for your attention.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Judy had a year three years ago, kind of like the year you guys have been having, you know? That happens. It's called life. All right, anybody else?
Hello.
Sarah. When I say that Sarah is the tip off the old block, it's Barbara I'm talking about.
I've heard him enough. I don't know what I'm going to say. I thought I would know what I was going to say. Well, unlike many of you who traveled different paths to the truth, I wasn't born into it, but I was 3, I suppose, so I was practically born into the truth. And I spent a lot of years after, I guess I'm going to be all out of order, I spent a lot of years after I was saved thinking that that actually was a little bit harder, because when you always have it, one, you kind of don't understand the specialness of it. So you don't really understand what other people are going through and what they come to, because you're always there. But the other thing about it is that it's a little bit like what you said. You always believe. You have no doubt that it's the truth. It is the truth. You can see it. It's so plain. It's so logical. It's so apparent. And you don't ever really not believe. Feel stupid to not to. It seems illogical to not to. As far as salvation, though, was concerned, I tend to be a little analytical, which is kind of what causes me to talk too much, because I analyze and overanalyze, and I do it out loud. And I saw not so much a gradual thing, but it was a specific process, series of steps, like believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, confess with your mouth, you know, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord, you know, all those things. So I tried all those things. Very logically and methodically. On 2, 3, 4 different occasions, I tried those things. It never really stuck with me. And all the while, as I grew up, I watched everybody else that had the peace and what they said about faith. And they seemed like hypocrites to me, and it made me very frustrated, and it made me very angry. And so when I took off to college, I thought, this is truth as it's presented, but then again, anything could be true when it's presented in the right way. And it really kind of messed with me for a while. I came back home in the summers, and one summer we had that camp out there, and Brother Moore was preaching, and he used the illustration that he had been using since I was, you know, knee-high to a grasshopper, about a drowning man and reaching down to save him, and if the drowning man is reaching up and fighting against it, it won't work. He has to let the person reach in and save him. And he said something about, then he quoted something about the faith of Christ, and I realized at that point, I nearly stood up.
Praise the Lord.
But it wasn't my faith that was going to save me, but it was Christ's faith that was going to save me. And then all those people that I thought were being hypocrites weren't hypocrites. They were just out of it. They had just given it. And I had tried all these different ways to do it. It's ironic, really, because of the grace message that I was trying to do it. And I was raised in the grace message, and I was still trying to do it. This is just human nature. But at that point, and I really don't remember the date. It's June something, 90 something. 91 or 92, I'm not really sure. But I knew then. Funny thing about that, too, I still tried to ask the Lord to save me after that realization. And then when I looked back on that afterwards, I thought, idiots. It isn't anything you have to do. That's the grand irony of it. It isn't anything you have to do. You just go, oh, here. And there it was.
Oh, I didn't want to tell Sarah how old she is, but she was 19 when she got saved. It looks to me like we have another volunteer coming up here. This is Dolores Sweeney. So glad you're here.
I just love this. I love
me too.
It's very edifying to hear people's stories, and I like to hear them over and over. I was saved when I was 9, and I'm not going to tell you the year, but...
It's okay. I don't know.
My parents were saved when they were young, and although we had a very chaotic household when I was growing up, I saw the love of God and the peace. The love of Christ and the peace of God was in my home. And my mother would take me to Sunday school and church, and in one summer when I went to Vacation Bible School at the First Baptist Church in downtown Carrollton, Texas, we were in the upstairs room over the kitchen, sitting in a prayer circle, and there was a woman telling us about the Lord, and she was telling us, you know, that we were sinners, and I knew that, and that because of that sin, we were separated from God. And I can remember sitting there thinking, wow. And she went on to say, and you know, Christ died for that sin, and we can be reconciled to God if you believe that. And as a 9-year-old, it just blows me away at this point to think back on that. But I was sitting there, and I was so cognizant that I'm sitting here in life, and here's the road to hell, and here's the road to the Lord. And I knew I deserved hell. I wasn't afraid of that. I knew I was a sinner, and I deserved that. But what was really frightening to me was to be separated from that love that I had known all my life from God. And right then I was like, Lord, I'm yours. And I trusted Christ as my Savior in that chair with my head bowed in the prayer circle. And He's been with me all these years too. And it's just an amazing thing, and it's that free gift.
Thank you. I'm willing to stand here all day and be the MC. There's one more back there. Come on, Daryl. Oh.
A couple more and we're good.
A couple more, I can preach this sermon tonight.
I think that's why Sarah did it. I told Robin, I said, we'll get a couple more and then we will have
that's right. I'm with you.
Most of you in here have heard my testimony. I've given it probably 4 or 5 times. And if you're saved, I would encourage you to do it. It just makes you feel much better to be able to share it with everybody. I'm going to go quickly on when I got saved, and I want to throw in a story about this church and Jerry. I was saved Wednesday night at a youth Bible study. Grew up in the Baptist church. Parents took me to church every day, Sunday school, the whole nine yards, kind of like Dwayne's talking about. And I guess the Lord worked in my parents and finally said, look, you're old enough to decide whether you're going to go to church or not go to church. I think I was about 12 when I got that free reign that I didn't have to go to church. So I quit going to the Baptist church. All my buddies that I played football with went to the Baptist church. And finally, they convinced me after practice to go to their youth Bible class on Wednesday night at the First Baptist Church downtown. And that's really, in my opinion, looking back on, that's the first time I had actually heard the gospel of Christ. Eddie had preached to me that I was a sinner, that all I had to do was accept the Lord, and I would be saved. I didn't have to get, and this is in the Baptist church, I didn't have to be baptized and everything. But when we got through, we had to make it official, and I would have to get baptized, you know. But he preached the gospel of Christ to me that day, that night. I broke down. It was one of the most emotional times of my life. I knew that I was saved. I had that peace like Sarah was talking about. I've heard Robin's testimony before. And you know you're saved when you have that peace. You just, all of a sudden, you're just like, wow. Nothing seems to really matter. And I thank the Lord every day that some of the testimonies I've heard that I wasn't at rock bottom. I was a, you know, loving family. I played football and basketball, had a great childhood and everything, and I was not rock bottom. The Lord knew that I was going to be His, and I was. To make the story a little longer is, because we got to get a couple more minutes in. But I accepted the grace, started going to church again, and I realized what Sarah was talking about, the hypocrites that I saw in the First Baptist Church really irritated me, so I kind of ran with the grace, if you would. 17 years old, went off to college, had my fun, and then Jerry, when they started preaching, they rented the building across the street from my dad, and I remember Jerry every day coming in and talking to my dad, and I think that's another great story too, yes, but I won't go into that. But he'd talk, and he'd say, come fellowship with us. Well, after that hypocritical stuff at the Baptist church, I kind of said, you know, I don't really trust religions and what they're going to do. And I wish Dwayne would have gone into the longer testimony where he's talking about Dolores getting them to go over there and think they were snake handlers. So, but he didn't go into that. But anyhow, Jerry kept bugging me to go over there and fellowship with all of you here. A lot of you are still here from across the street. And I said, no, I got a golf game. I got flag football. I got this. I got that. Well, in 95, I finally blew my knee out. I blew my ACL out. And Jerry said, there's not going to be any golf this weekend. There's not going to be any football. So come fellowship. And that's the first time that I had ever heard rightly dividing the word of truth. I knew I was saved. I had the peace, and I had the peace. But when you belong to the Lord and you let Him, He will take you where you need to be. And that's where I needed to be, is back fellowshipping with all of you folks here, understanding the truth of God's word, and being able to go out and talk to people about it. Because before that, you know me, Jerry, I wouldn't talk to anybody about the Lord. And I have several friends of mine that I keep hammering on it, and I don't know if it's ever going to work. I won't know until I'll be with the Lord. And if there's anybody in here that isn't saved, you need to be, because you will feel that peace And as bad as things are in this world that I see politically and all these other things that are going on, He will take care of you. He brought me back to Jerry and this fellowship and this church to understand God's Word, and I'm able to go out and speak to people and share my testimony and share the truth that's in this book right here. And like Robin said and everybody else that I've heard, it's so simple. All you have to do is accept it and you're done. And you'll have that peace and you'll go with the Lord and you can ask Him all those questions about everything you ever wanted to know.
That's right.
So, thank you so much.
Thank you. Ray and Auden, come up here.
I really don't know all what to say either, but I was just thinking, like, as everyone was coming up here and giving their testimony, I was thinking, I'm going to do this one day. I'm going to do this eventually, but I'm just not going to do it yet. I'm not going to do it right now. But so many people came, and I started to get a lot more comfortable in deciding that, you know, today's the day I'm going to do this. So, I don't know, even though I'm only 16, I've had a lot go on in my life. I've had a lot of twists and turns, and, you know, I was born into a Christian family, and, you know, about the time that I was 2 and 3 and 4 and all those, you know, when I was real young, you know, I always believed that there was a God, and I always believed, you know, that He died on the cross, and I always believed that, growing up, I went to a lot of different churches with my mom and the rest of my family. And, you know, I always believed, but when I started to get older, about, you know, 13, 14, and I knew that I was saved, kind of, I took that for granted. And I said, you know, I knew the scriptures, you know, once you were saved, that can't be taken away from you. And, you know, you're going to go to heaven as long as you believe on this. And, I don't know, I really took that for granted, and I thought, you know, I can just pretty much do whatever I want, and I'm going to, you know, I'm still going to go to heaven, I'm still going to be saved. And I never studied, you know, I came to these churches, I came to this one, I came to Scott Mitchell's church for a while, and, you know, I never studied, I didn't really pray, I didn't really do much with it, and it didn't really, like, stick with me. It wasn't anything that I didn't really do anything with it. But anyways, last year, January 18th, I had, you know, that the past 2 years were pretty bad in my life, and I wasn't making, you know, really any good decisions, and I got arrested that year. And when I was in juvie, I went to my cell, and underneath the bed, there was nothing in that room, but underneath the bed there was a copy of the New Testament, and it wasn't the King James, and I knew that the King James was the authorized version, and I knew, you know, and all that, but it wasn't the King James. But I still knew I was at my rock bottom then, and I went in, and you know, and I was crying in my bunk by myself, and I had that half of the Bible, and I just remember thinking, like, you know, this is my rock bottom. Like, I can't go on. I can't, you know, leave. You know, whatever time that I'm going to be in here, I can't leave and go back out into the world and know that everything's fine, that I'm okay, and that I'm going to have a good life. Like, I can't do that. And I cried and I prayed, and I knew the scriptures. I knew 1 Corinthians 15 verses 3 and 4. And that day when I was praying was when I gave my trust over to the Lord, and I trusted that those scriptures and, you know, what I had read in the Bible was going to save me, and all I had to do was believe, and that, you know, all my life before taking for granted of that salvation was over with. And from that day on, my life has been nothing but success and positivity and more. And even though bad things happen, you know, I knew the scriptures to study, and I knew, you know, and I would pray and I would ask God, you know, just for guidance and for help and all this. And I felt free. I knew that all my sins had been forgiven, and that, you know, all the sins that I'm going to make had been forgiven, and that, you know, just that I was saved. And then every time, you know, something came up after that point where I was, you know, in a bad situation or anything like that, you know, because I was saved, you know, I would just put my trust in God. And I'd never done that before in situations. I always thought, you know, what can I do to try to make this work out for me? You know, which way? I'm going to take this path and hopefully it'll work out. But a few times, or a lot of times, I would just put all my trust into God and just say, you know, Lord, have this work out for your will, and I'm just going to trust in you. And then the next day or two, something would work out, and it was way better than what I was thinking. Like, you know, the path that I wanted to go to get to this, like, the way that God worked it out was so much better than I could have imagined. And there's just constant, like, reassurance, you know, just that my life is, that God has a purpose for my life, that I'm going to be successful, and that, you know, I have Him as my utmost support, and I have my family and all that, and hopefully things just keep getting better.
There's one more hand coming up. While Sandra comes, this is Sandra Hicks, and while Sandra comes, it reminds me when you raised your hand, one of the things that if the Baptist couldn't get you to come down the aisle, they'd ask you to raise your hand if you wanted something. And John Sanford used to say that he thought...
Well, I always thought if I was going to get up here and do this, I'd probably rehearse it and write a speech, which I could have. But I didn't today, so I'll just try to make this as brief as possible. Most of you know me, and you knew my husband. I came to the Lord at a really early age, too. I was raised Anglican, Episcopalian, and in those days we had the actual nuns in the Episcopalian church that taught, and we had a little day school for kids, and that's where I really first heard the story of Jesus, and I do believe it was the gospel of grace, that Jesus was who He said He was, did what He said He did, and I accepted that wholeheartedly and made the choice right then to believe in that and trust in that. I didn't understand it all. I think you grow in trust as questions get answered, but the God, the Holy Spirit filled me and gave me a hunger to know more about this God. And I went to Sunday school every Sunday, and they got little stars on the chart. And I was going just because I wanted to learn. But after a while, the same story was being repeated and repeated. You know, the Book of Common Prayer is pretty small compared to the Bible. We didn't much go beyond that. And so I didn't really get into in-depth Bible study. But after a while, I just wanted the stars. You know, I thought I'd heard everything there was to hear, so I just still wanted to get those stars on my chart. But you get up to college age and you don't be, you don't really understand the world. And if you're not really deeply rooted in all that God is and the whole plan of God from the get to the go, you can become confused by the world. And you can get more questions than you can find answers to at that moment. So I really had a hungering always to know more about God, but things get put on the back burner when you get married and you have children and careers come forth, and so you put this aside. And it's like I've told my husband, and I don't have to tell Jerry or anybody that's led a Bible study in here, you know, I am a helpmeet to man. Because I help meet your needs. I have patience and learn patience with me because I ask hard questions. And until my spirit and my mind and will and emotions wrap around something, once I get on something, I'm like Sarah Palin's pit bull with lipstick. I will not give up or let go until you've given me the answer that fits in my spirit and I fully understand it. So I'm really grateful to God that He always gave me a hungering to know His truth. And it's been quite a journey. I studied under a lot, and my husband and I both studied under a lot of teachers. Dr. Arnold Fruchtenbaum, Francis Frangipane, Clarence Larkin even. And each one of those, as the Holy Spirit brought those teachers and their writings into my life, was a process of unfolding more and more of God's Word. And by the time we came to this church, thanks to you guys back there, it took us a couple of years to get here. We were living in New Zealand, going back and forth and doing prison ministry over there and Bible studies and things. And not working because we believe it works led us to heaven, but just because we wanted to share God's Word with people. But by the time we got here to this church, we had quite a few of the things that Jerry talks about. We had the King James Version. We had dispensations. We had some rightly dividing. I've certainly learned more as I've come here and been blessed,
especially by your spectacular sermon this morning. I almost wanted to stand up and applaud. That was so awesome and so clear.
You're trying to win me over.
Yeah. So you can practice your need for patience.
Yes,
yeah. And so, anyway, I think I've said it all, and I'm surely grateful to God for His plan for this world, and especially His plan for salvation in our Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.